Again, as Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones would say, I'd like to draw your attention this morning to chapter 14 of Matthew's Gospel, if you want to open your Bibles. And it's Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Let me read it out for you. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Lord, I'd ask you that this morning, whatever I say is only from you, Lord. Nothing of me I want to give this morning, only your word of truth and your word of encouragement to your glory, Almighty God. You may recall a month ago, I looked at that story in John's Gospel, John chapter 8, about the woman caught in adultery. And I thought that was it's a wonderful story and a very encouraging story. I want to go through this story, which I too think is very encouraging. And I want to approach this story the same way I did last time. What I want to do is to walk through the story, make a few points as I do so, and then use that to bring that together at the end to be able to learn some lessons from this story. So let's begin right at the beginning of the story with verse 22. And I'd like to read it out again, remind you how this story began. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. So I want you to note two things from the beginning of this story. Two things that happen. Firstly, Jesus made them get into the boat. In other words, they were doing the will of Jesus. They were following his instructions. They were doing what he wanted them to do. And secondly, he gives them direction. He tells them where he wants them to go. So that's the beginning of the story. Bear that in mind. However, as they set off across the lake, this is what happened. In verse 24, we're told this. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. So as Jesus sets them off on this journey, it starts to go wrong in this respect. The waves start to build up and the disciples in the boat are buffeted by these waves. In other words, this journey across the lake becomes uncomfortable and rough. Not only does it say that, but it says that the wind was against them. In other words, they were now experiencing opposition on this journey. Okay, then what happens in verse 25 and 26? During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. I want you to notice now what happens in terms of the response of the disciples. When they see Jesus walking across the lake, and this is in the middle of the night, they're in a storm, and Jesus comes walking on the lake towards them. And their response in the boat is one of reason and fear. They reason with themselves, men do not walk on water. We know that. Men can't walk on water unaided. So they use their reason, their brains, and said, no, this can't be Jesus. It must be a ghost. That's the only thing that they could come to the conclusion of. Because they know that men don't walk on water. And once they realize and began to come to the conclusion that this must be a ghost, they then become afraid. So they respond to this event in fear and with reason. And that's how they initially deal with it. Now what happens in verse 27? But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. So what Jesus does, he recognizes that they're now in a state of fear. So what does Jesus do for us when we're fearful? He gives us assurance. And that's what Jesus does. He says, do not be afraid, it's I. I'm with you. Amen. Now that's assurance. Now for us as Christians, when we're in situations of fearful situations, when situations are difficult, that's what Jesus will always give for us. He will always give us assurance. It's a vital experience of being a Christian. Because assurance from Jesus makes us stronger as Christians, and it nurtures our faith, as we'll see. Verse 28 to 29 says this, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Now, because of that word of assurance from Jesus, Peter's now able to take an act of faith. With that act, through that act of faith, he's able to get out of that boat and do something which is impossible. Like Jesus, he walks on the water. And that's his response to that assurance from Jesus. Only faith enables us to ignore the circumstances around us and do something impossible. Because that's what faith does for us. Okay? So here we are, there's the disciples, in the midst of this storm. It's dark, and yet despite his circumstances, Peter's able to take a step of faith in response to what Jesus has said to him. And as he gets out of that boat and takes that step of faith and does something impossible, men cannot walk on water, he's looking at Jesus. His focus and his attention is on Jesus, not on his circumstances. I want to remind you of something that Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, and he said this, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. So at this point, Jesus has called Peter. He said, come. Not only does when Jesus calls us to do something, it also enables us to do it. So the reason that Peter's able to walk on the water is because Jesus has commanded him to do that, and he is the one who's enabling him to take this act of faith. Okay, let's have a look at verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. So now what's happened is, Peter's initially begun in faith, and through that faith he's now walking on water. Then suddenly he takes his eyes off Jesus. And what happens when we take our eyes off Jesus? Our faith goes out the window. He's now looking at his circumstances. Now he's saying, whoa, hang on. I can't walk on water, I'm a man. How can that be possible? And the winds is blowing and the waves are thrashing about. And he suddenly begins to look at his circumstances and takes his eyes off Jesus. And what does that do? The fear comes back. And when that fear comes back, he starts to sink. And then in verse 31, this is the key verse to this whole story. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? I suggest to you that this is the key verse of this story. This is what this whole story is about. And I want you to notice certain things. The most important part of this verse is this. Peter did not perish. Amen. He sank a bit, but he did not perish, because Jesus would never allow that to happen, because he keeps his word. We see that in John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30. Jesus said this about those who follow him, about his disciples. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. What a strong message that is. That superlative of never. Jesus makes a promise that we will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given to me them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And that's exactly what's happening at this point in the story. Jesus is keeping his word. He will not let Peter perish, and he reaches out his hands and he lifts him up. Jesus only questions the faith of Peter. That's all he does. He's utterly gracious to Peter. At this point, Peter is no longer acting in faith. In fact, in a sense, he's sinning at this point. And in that state of sin, he begins to sink. But will Jesus just let him go? No, he will not. Amen. Jesus is gracious towards Peter, and he lifts him up. And all he does is he speaks to him about his faith. He does not speak to him about his relationship with the Lord. He just simply questions his faith. Now, those are the little things I want to pick out from this story and say, well, okay, what does all that mean? I've made a few points as we've gone through the story. What is this story all about? Well, the first thing to note is this. It's a story of a journey. And although the disciples are moving from one place to another, that was not the purpose of the journey. Okay. You see, as Christians, we become disciples. And that discipleship is a journey, where it takes us from the time when we're born again to the time of glory in heaven. And we're on that journey. All of us are on this journey. And we're going from one place to another. Now, in this case, Jesus was saying, I want you to go across the lake onto the other side. Was that the real purpose of this journey? Just to get to that other place? No. Remember, Jesus put them on that journey. They were on that journey because of Jesus' instructions. He made them do it. And the purpose of that journey was not to get from A to B, but for them to grow. Yes. He wanted to teach them a lesson. Yes. And that's what it is for us. So, for instance, for us, we will say to the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he says, I want you to do this. And it may be, whatever it is, maybe he's saying to you, I want you to evangelize. But the evangelism in itself is not the purpose for you. The purpose for you is that you should grow in that as you follow what he wants you to do. And that's what our discipleship is about. It's about growing. Now, I suggest to you that there's three primary areas that Jesus wants us to grow in. That's faith, hope, and love. Those are the three main growth areas that Jesus has for us in our life. Now, in this particular occasion, he wants the disciples to learn a lesson of faith so that they will grow in faith, because Jesus wants us to do that. We come to the Lord in faith, and we're meant to live our life as a disciple by faith. So faith is really important for us as Christians. And Jesus wants us to become stronger and stronger in our faith. But why does he want us to do that? Why does Jesus want us to grow in faith? Because I suggest to you that he wants to liberate us. That's the purpose of faith. See, what Jesus wants us to do is to liberate us from the limitations of our own human existence. For instance, he wants to liberate us from our past history. See, our past history teaches us lessons, does it not? If you've been in an abusive relationship, for instance, and you because of that and you got badly damaged and badly hurt by it, that experience of your past teaches you to avoid that again. That's your instinct to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get involved with somebody like that again because I don't want to get hurt. That's what we as human beings do, and that limits what we can do with our lives. It's also the same with our experiences. When we have an experience that is damaging or destructive in some way, We don't want to experience that again. We end up putting limitations upon our life. It's the same with our knowledge. You see, the disciples, their knowledge of human of physics and of what human beings could do, said, well, men can't walk on water. That's knowledge. But actually, men can, as we've seen in this story. Peter did it along with Jesus. But our knowledge limits us. Through our knowledge of science and other human understanding of things, we think there's certain things that cannot be done. But the Gospels are full of impossible things. Miracles go way beyond our knowledge. Our understanding of things causes us to be limited in our expectation of what we can do. But what faith does, it enables us to go beyond all these things. Jesus wants us to be able to do what seems impossible. He wants us to do extraordinary things. That's his desire for us as Christians. And I want to demonstrate this from two other parts in Matthew's Gospel. We find in chapter 17 of Matthew's Gospel, verse 20, Jesus says this, I tell you the truth. Now that's important when he says that. I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Why? Because nothing will be impossible for you. That's a bold statement. And Jesus says that's true. He says that's true, and despite our knowledge, despite the limitations we put upon ourselves, Jesus expressly says, nothing will be impossible for you as believers. Then in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, we read this. Jesus looked to them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So do you see what I mean? Jesus tells us that as Christians, we can do impossible things. The things which through our own knowledge and experience tell us cannot be done. That's one reason why Jesus wants us to grow in faith. Also, Jesus does not want us to live in fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. And fear gives us the wrong answers. When the disciples were in that boat, they came to the wrong conclusion out of fear. They were afraid because they thought that this must be a ghost. And fear does that. Fear gives us the wrong answers. So, for instance, out of fear, if we're afraid of heights, we won't go on tall buildings because we think that's dangerous to go up there. But in fact, it's not, provided you're sensible. But fear does that. If you're afraid of spiders, you'll go nowhere near spiders. If a spider turns up here, you'll run away. That's what fear does. And it says that even a little spider that can't do you any harm, you'll run away from it. That's fear. That's what fear does. It gives us the wrong conclusions. And it's the opposite of faith. What also fear does is it paralyzes us. It stops us from doing things. And also, worse than that, what fear does to us, it causes us to sink. It brings us down. We as Christians are not supposed to live in fear. We're not supposed to be brought down. We're supposed to be lifted up. That's what Jesus wants to do all the time. That's why he got hold of Peter's hand and lifted him up. And that's why when we read in the story of the vine dresser, of Jesus who was the vine dresser, wanting to lift us up in that story. Because that's what he wants to do. But fear will bring us down. Faith does the opposite to those things. So when the journey that we are on as Christians, our discipleship, when that becomes rough, or when we face opposition, or life seems perilous, or we're sinking, then more than any other time, Jesus wants us to grow in faith. In the past few weeks, Suzanne and I have been going through this very thing. We've hit rough waters. We have had a very difficult time the last few weeks. Things seem very perilous to us. But in the midst of that, Jesus wants us to have faith. So if in your life you're experiencing difficult times, he wants you to have faith because faith will get you through it. Jesus wants us to grow in faith, to live by faith. He wants us to step out in faith. He wants to set us free, to liberate us from those things which would cause us to limit what we can do, because we can do impossible things. But I want to say as well with this story, there's nothing wrong with being in the boat. I've heard far too many times preachers speaking about this story and only focusing upon Peter, as if Peter's the only one that does anything right in this story by stepping out the boat and walking on the water. Jesus does not reprimand those who stayed in the boat, because that boat in this story represents the secure place. As I said before, one of the things that we really need as Christians is assurance that we're okay. Jesus is with us, he's in control, we've nothing to be afraid of. And in this story, that's what the boat represents. In the midst of all the storm and all the problems and all the circumstances which seem against them, they're safe in that boat. The disciples in the boat were not going to perish either, because that's a promise of Jesus. And we need that security as Christians. And it's from that place of security, knowing that we're saved, we're safe in his hands, that he's in control, we have nothing to be afraid of. And it's only from that place that we can step out in faith. We need that security in our lives. And it's from that secure place that Peter was able to step out in faith in response to what Jesus said. And even when we don't have moving faith, we still won't perish. If we move in fear, we won't perish. Jesus will not let that happen. We might sink in our life, we might sink a bit and things might deteriorate. We've all been through that, through times. I've been through times of great rejection and depression about a situation. And thinking, well, that's it, it's all over. But I didn't perish. I may have become a bit self-absorbed for a while, but Jesus would never let me perish. Even when I thought it was all over, when it seems that's it, he will not let us perish, even when we don't act in faith. Jesus will always, always, no matter what our circumstances, will always stretch out his hand, and he will always lift us up, no matter what happens. At the time when you're in the storm, it seems that will not happen, but it will. He's promised it will. He will not let us perish. I'm not suggesting this morning that we should become foolhardy about this. Some people see this story and get the wrong idea. I believe it was Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones who told a story in one of his sermons once that I heard a long time ago, in which he spoke of a man that he knew who decided to demonstrate that he had faith. And what he did was he thought, well, all things are possible, aren't they? He knew these things from Matthew's Gospel, the promises of Jesus, that all things are possible through faith in Jesus. So he said, I know, I have faith. So what did he decide to do? He decided to demonstrate it by going to a dentist and having all his teeth removed. Because he believed that God could do all things. And so he would replace all his teeth. What happened? The teeth were never replaced. Because he was being foolhardy. Because he missed a very important point. Peter only took that step of faith because Jesus told him to. We don't do things unless Jesus tells us. We need to know what Jesus wants us to do. And in this story, Peter took that step of faith because Jesus said, come. Only because of that. We don't do foolhardy things. And we need to be looking at Jesus when we make those steps of faith. Thankfully, I'm getting near to the end because my voice is nearly going. I just want to end with this, that to bring this all together now and say that Jesus wants to liberate us. And he wants to do this by helping us to grow in faith. And this morning, if Jesus is saying to you, come, he's inviting you to take a step of faith. If he's saying that to you today, I would urge you, take that step of faith and you will grow. Glory to God.